Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Portis going to lob it up top. Giannis catch and dunk on the reverse jam on the alley-oop feed.
Butts Talk starts now.
A.J. Green's defense was great again. Here's Portis on the run at the end of the quarter. He hits the three on a running jumper from the top of the circle.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, this team continues to move in the right direction, taking care of the Indiana Pacers tonight in a game that certainly had a lot of intrigue. Coming into things, the Bucks take care of business, a wire-to-wire win tonight, beating the Pacers, 129-117. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as we've talked about the defense and some of the strides that that group has really taken since November 1. But tonight was interesting because I think this was a game everybody had circled. Mm-hmm. Coming into the season, we heard Doc Rivers himself say, yeah, there is probably going to be a lot more juice to this one because of what happened last year. Rick Carlisle didn't really touch that one. It's a great crowd anyway, and it's always a tough place to play, but it certainly felt like that the first 3 minutes of this game.
Did Doc say he did not? Giannis did not get that 64-point game ball?
I think it was a joke.
I don't know. Felt like he was kind of serious about it. You're absolutely right, though. I think out of maybe the Boston Celtics, this is the team I want to beat more than anybody. This is the team that I circle the games. They beat us 4 out of 5 last year, knocked us out of the playoffs a year ago.
Us? You play for the team now?
Yes, I do. I'm cheering for the team, so yeah, I use the word us. You don't use us?
No.
Oh, well, that makes one of us, I suppose. I got 2 game balls tonight. You know where I'm going with these?
I think I have a guess.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Number 1, Bobby Portis. All first right, one of the year for him. That was not in your...
No.
I thought, obviously that Bucks started the game off really well. I mean, a 10-1 run to begin the game. The Pacers didn't score until, I believe, we were almost halfway through the opening quarter. But when Bobby came in, Justin, it just felt like, the energy was just, it was, turned up notches. He hits the buzzer beater at the end of the first quarter. So I thought he was really solid off the bench. I thought he moved the ball around well. And, it's kind of a thing where Bucks fans kind of get onto Bobby a little bit. So I thought he moved the ball around. I really enjoyed watching him play tonight. Number 2, and you and I, man, we've talked about this guy since we began this season. We have been waiting for these moments. And that was Gary Trent Jr. with 17 points off the bench, or 18 points off the bench. Bobby had 17. So 18 points off the bench for Gary Trent Jr., 6 for 10 from the three-point range. I'll be honest with you, Justin, off the top of my brain here, tonight, from start to finish, there were some moments in this game. This felt like the most confident.
Tonight was their best start-to-finish performance.
It felt like the most confident team, too, that we have seen. It felt like they knew the roles had been carved out. They knew what they were doing. Gary Trent Jr. knew he was to come in and knock down shots. A.J. Green knew that he was to get shots up. He didn't shoot well tonight, but he played tough defense. We all know Andre Jackson Jr.'s role. Giannis was dominant like he does. He owns this team from a numbers perspective. But tonight it just felt like a very, very, very confident Bucks team, and a Bucks team that is starting to believe, not only, yes, that they belong, because you do when you have Giannis and Dame, but starting to realize the things that they're doing are paying dividends, and we're seeing that on the defensive side and tonight on the offensive side.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. The Bucks improved now to 7-9 on the season after a 2-8 start. Here they are, coming on strong, picking up some steam, and as we mentioned, it's not as though they're playing weak opponents. This Pacers team is struggling right now, but you beat the Houston Rockets, who won again big time tonight. They've been one of the best teams in the Western Conference. You didn't win those games, but you played the Cavs and the Celtics tough. That this feels like it's been a long time coming, that it's been building up to this for this team, and things are starting to fall into place. 855-616-1620 is that number to join us tonight. Let's squeeze in one call here before the break and catch up with our old pal, Dick in Port Washington. You kick us off. What are your thoughts on this one tonight, Dick?
I am happy as hell. I can't stand this team. And I don't know if you saw the Gambling Network's final shot of the night. They showed some guy running into the tunnel with a towel over his head, running away. And you know who that guy was?
I can take a guess.
Prick from Oshkosh, Hal Burton. You know, he's a front runner. I can't stand that guy. Okay? Now, after that makes me feel really good. So let's get to something important. I really like the way our defense is progressing. I like that as much as I like PC over his career, it's great that he's not seeing the court. I love the way we're playing defense, and I love the way our offense is starting to click. And I think I've gained so much respect for the coaching in this run here. And I think I'm really starting to feel good. And this is totally opposite of what I said about 3, 4, 5 calls ago. But what do you think about – I love our rotation. What do you guys think?
It's hard to argue with it. You know, like, look, there's going to be maybe not a 6-game losing streak and how everything really started to look for a while. There's obviously going to be moments where there's a downturn here and those shots aren't falling. But you know, we said before the season, the roster just made more sense now. The pieces fit. Like last year when you brought in Damian Lillard, you look at some of the other moves that were made. I mean, most notably, Malik Beasley. It makes a whole lot of sense if he's playing next to Drew Holiday. And that was one of the big questions that I think a lot of us had, and it never really fit. We saw Jay Crowder appear to start to lose it last year. He's not on an NBA team this season. You had to rely on campaign early in the season and then eventually bringing in Pat Beverly, who also is not on an NBA team this season. So those three moves you made in the offseason, you know, you had a sample size to see how this fit with Giannis and Damian Lillard, some of the things that Doc Rivers wanted to do with this group, but more importantly, you upgraded those role player spots and you continue to get development and production from young players. So as a whole, it just makes a whole lot of sense. They're averaging more than 40 points a game from the bench in the last 4 games, which, you know, is not tops in the league, but it's important for this team, or at least important to point out, because you have a top-heavy roster. The Bucks are never going to be, under this construction of the group, they're never going to be one of the better bench-scoring teams in the league because that's not where the offense is set up to come from. You know, you got Giannis and Damian Lillard and Brooke, and once Chris Middleton comes back, and if he is, in fact, in the starting lineup, you got him. That's where your offense is coming from. But if you can get the right mix, and if you can get those moments, I think what is most notable with that second unit production is it's been somebody else each of the last handful of games. A.J. Green.
Good point.
Has had his moments. Tonight it was Gary Trent Jr. You know, we've seen one guy after another be that guy that gives you that boost and that spark and keeps things going, so it's not the wheels are falling off when Giannis is off the floor or when Damian Lillard is off the floor. Bobby Portis in the first half, how huge he was, and he's had some games. So you're starting to find that mix where you have a starting unit that you feel really solid with, and now you're starting to find guys that can come in off the bench and score. I mean, we heard Doc Rivers say it after the game, too, that when they felt they had to pull Andre Jackson Jr. out of the starting lineup because teams were just sagging off of him, they started A.J. Green because they feel like everything's clicking right now for Gary. I know he came to Milwaukee assuming he was going to be the starting two guard. You haven't heard a peep from Gary Trent Jr. I haven't seen any type of discontent from him either. And Doc Rivers didn't want to upset that. Nope, he's finding his shot. Everything's working. He knows his role with that bench. Let's keep doing that. And I don't know if that changes. But if it doesn't, it looks like you have a heater off the bench in Gary Trent Jr.
You mentioned Andre Jackson Jr. there. I know you're not a big plus or minus fan, but I thought this was rather interesting. So I thought he had a decent night. I would like to see him put up some more shots when he's in that dunker spot. But listen to this, Justin. He didn't score tonight. He had 0 points. He had 2 steals, 1 assist, and 6 rebounds. And in the plus or minus category, he was plus 18. 0 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. He was number 3 as far as ranking in the starting five. Giannis finished, or actually Prince finished with plus 27. Damian Lillard with plus 19, and that was plus 18 for Andre Jackson Jr. And I think that goes to speak to the type of player he is. Now, I would like to see him, you know, and I know he wants to, he's a connector. He's getting the, you know, everybody else involved. He's looking for that open shot. He's looking for, you know, somebody in the corner. But when that ball falls into that dunker spot and he's in that spot because he seems to be finding the spot in the right time, just put it up. But I think that's remarkable. Plus 18, and he didn't score a bucket all night and only took 5 shots. So guys are starting to identify the roles that they're in, and I think that's what's most encouraging for this team. And they are these wire-to-wire wins against the Pacers team that, yeah, they've lost 4 out of 5. They're now 6-10. But it's a team that really gave the Bucks fits last year, and this was a no-doubter from start to finish.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Still a couple of calls to get to as this team, some very impressive numbers in the month of November. Month's not over yet, so still have to close this out strong, but a chance to get back to above 500 for the first time since opening night with this win tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. More after this.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
129 to 117, the final here inside of Fiserv Forum. Bucks with another win. And after that 2-8 start, they have since gone 5-1 now. Some very impressive numbers in the month of November. We will get to those in a second. Let's first head back to the phone lines and talk with Marty in Cudahy. You're up next.
Good evening, guys. How you doing? Just wanted to call in and touch on 3 big things. Obviously, when you have Giannis, that hides up for quite a few things. But with Brook spacing and Dame and Giannis, like Prince and Trent, like, those guys should want to play for teams like the Bucks because it just creates open shots for them. I've actually been very impressed with Wright's defense as well. But if I'm Giannis, like, he has to be so grateful that Jackson and Green have hit. Like, and when today at the game, when Jackson had kind of had that crazy between the leg transition, Doc could have ripped him out, but he ripped him at the timeout, but kept him in the game. And I just feel like the commitment to, like, Green didn't shoot good in the first half, kept him in the game. The Green and Jackson, I can't describe how important and valuable that is, not only to, like, this year's teams, but, like, the future of keeping Giannis on the Bucks. That here's 2 young, reliable role players. I think that cannot be overstated. And the only negative thing I have is, like, keeping Brook Lopez healthy all year is playing great. I think he needs to have there needs to be a backup center. We need to find him a little support out there. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call. And Doc kind of joked about that too after the game, that it was Bobby Portis that kind of saved Ajax, that he could sense. He was waiting at the scorer's table, ready to check into the game when that play happened. And it was Bobby Portis that told Doc, don't yell at him. Just let him. He knows what he did. It's fine. And Doc said something to him, but as you mentioned, he didn't pull him out of the game. And it's one of those things. Now, the big thing with Ajax is, Doc has talked about this too, the spacing is still an issue. And it's a matter of comfort, I suppose. But there was a couple of times tonight that he still is hesitant to go up from the dunker spot. I mean, it's not a bad thing to be an unselfish player and looking to involve your teammates, but that's a spot where you can't really do it unless there is a wide open man in the corner or above the break that you're swinging to. But there was one play in particular where Ajax got the ball in the dunker spot and immediately fed it to Giannis, who was about 3 feet away from him.
Yeah.
And
I think that was a turnover, wasn't it?
There's no spacing when you do that. And early in the game, Giannis had a feed to Ajax in the dunker spot. He immediately looked to pass. Like, that is one area that Andre needs to start to score from, because those looks are going to be there for him, especially in those minutes that he's on the floor with Giannis, and he's going to have to score from there because teams are going to sag off him. I think he only took 1 3 tonight. We've seen him shooting much better this season, but teams are going to sag off of him and let him take those shots. And, it, you know, especially if you get to the postseason in those moments, there's a lot that defenses are going to be able to do in terms of stacking the floor if you have Ajax and Giannis on the floor, if he's not figured out how to be efficient from that spot. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Some more calls to get to, and I promise some very impressive numbers for this Bucks team in the month of November, including tonight's result. We'll get to that after this.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me. 129 to 117 final here inside of Fiserv Forum. A wire-to-wire win for the Bucks. I do believe this is their first of the season. Damian Lillard is addressing the media right now. I heard part of what he was saying in that. The big takeaway is this team really handled us last year. This year is not last year. And we talked about this on the game broadcast. One of the more notable things in this game, obviously the way the Bucks started defensively, but it was almost like the Bucks became the Pacers. The Bucks were the team that was pushing the pace. They were running off of makes, too, and they were pressuring the Pacers. Andre Jackson Jr., full length. Defensive pressure on Tyrese Halliburton. We heard Doc Rivers really call that out and say that was one of the biggest keys to the game for us tonight. But this was a Bucks team. Maybe it was the added motivation of, you know, look, we know how things went against the Pacers last year in the five regular season games and then beating us, granted, without Dame in two of those games and Giannis in the entire series in the playoffs. We have something to prove against this team. And the way to do it is with our defense. Like, this looked like a totally different team when you look back to not just the playoff series, because, again, the personnel so different with Dame out of a third of that series and Giannis out of all of that series. But when you think back to everything the Pacers did to the Bucks last year, the Bucks were the ones that were doing that tonight. The Bucks were the bullies. The Bucks were the ones that were trying, in the first half, running on the Pacers, really stifling them. Andre Jackson Jr. causing the eight-second violation against T.J. McConnell, something T.J. McConnell would have done to the Bucks last year. The Bucks were the team that was dictating everything for a majority, three-quarters of the game tonight.
Yeah, and the Bucks were up, Justin, big in both the second, third, and fourth quarter. And in each one of those quarters, the Pacers kind of went out on a little bit of a run. I know in the second quarter, it really started to pick up for Indiana. They closed the 14-point lead all the way down to six. But I thought that the Bucks did a really good job of kind of hitting timely shots. That a lot of that, you know, big part of that was Damian Lillard, especially to begin that fourth quarter when Indiana had closed it a little bit. So I thought I just think that speaks volumes on this team in the corner that they have turned. It's a resilient group. I mean, at one point, when you're looking at the record of 2-8, and you lose a couple of those close games, and you lose a game in Charlotte that maybe you shouldn't have lost, and you get some close finishes against Detroit and Houston, it's a resilient group. And to be able to, you know, fight back when, you know, these teams go on these runs, and we saw it with the Houston Rockets as well a couple nights ago. I mean, it's good to see this team be able to respond, and they respond in different ways. And you and I have talked about it. their identity. We are in agreement that it's on the defensive side of the ball. They hunker down and get stops. They have multiple guys, both on the starting lineup and on the bench, that can hit timely shots. And if you're the Bucks on offense and another team is looking at you, it's really daunting. And I know the offensive numbers aren't where they probably want them to be or where we thought they would be. But when it's a fourth quarter, Justin, and it's a 1-2-3 possession game, and you have to defend Giannis, and then you got to defend Damian Lillard, and then you got to worry about A.J. Green, who's been shooting the lights out of the ball to begin this year, and then Gary Trent Jr. starting to wake up a little bit, and there's still Brook Lopez. I mean, it is it's a good team. It's a really well-constructed team, and it's cool to see them starting to kind of find their rhythm, their groove, and just be resilient and kind of hunker down and be like, you know what? Yes, this is a team with championship aspirations, and we're going to beat you in multiple different ways. And it's encouraging to see. I'm very optimistic about where this team is. And if you ask Doc Rivers, Justin, it should be six wins in a row.
855-616-1620, the number to join us. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Q in Milwaukee. You're up next.
Justin, I was at the game. It was an awesome crowd. And I'll tell you this, the court looks even better in person.
Yeah,
it does not look as dark as it does on TV. I'm going to keep the optimism train going. This team is just really clicking. And I think I've watched a lot of Bucks basketball, and the best teams are when you don't know who's going to be the difference maker. And you're like, I feel like early in the season, like, we needed Giannis or Dame to, like, be the best player on the planet for us to have a chance to win. Now, as you guys have been describing, the role players are really getting involved and getting opportunities and thriving. Gary Trent Jr. tonight, this is what we all got excited for when we signed him this summer. Like, this is awesome. I don't know. It feels like we can beat anyone at this point, which I don't think we could say a few weeks ago. And for me, my game balls go to John Horst and Doc Rivers, because John Horst built this roster and put a lot of lottery tickets on the team, and they're starting to pay out now. And Doc Rivers, thank goodness we have a super experienced coach who's done and seen everything in this league, because he put his big boy pants up on every day and just stood at the podium telling us not to worry, and his team bleeds that. They eat, sleep, and drink the Doc Rivers Kool-Aid, and I think the confidence comes from him, and I can't wait to prove all the doubters wrong as the season continues. I think people are going to be shocked when we get back to 500 in a couple games, and they're going to be like, wait, what happened? So well, I'm just excited.
I mean, a chance to get there Tuesday. Thanks for the call, Q. You got to take care of business tomorrow first. But if you do that, a chance to get to 500 Tuesday in an important game in the NBA Cup, which we'll take a look at those standings and the rest of the East coming up a little bit later in the show. But I agree with the point on Doc Rivers. It's one that I talked about with a few other people at the time of the hiring, but especially coming into this season, that, you know, look, there's he's a very polarizing coach. That there is a group of NBA fans where Doc Rivers can do no right. That it's the LOL, let's point to the 3-1 deficit and everything else with Doc.
Mm-hmm.
But Doc has kind of talked about this too. He feels as though this group is the best that he's had since at least the Celtics years when he had that big three and won his NBA championship, in terms of a group that is pretty much drama-free. You know, like, we didn't really have that conversation last year because there was a lot of drama just due to you were working on three coaches, your record was very disappointing, the first-round playoff loss, again, injuries continue to mount up, that the drama was different. It wasn't self-inflicted by players. And there's been a lot of that with Doc-coached teams. This group is different, that it's a veteran team. Doc is a veteran coach. It's a team that's open to coaching. He's talked about that from day one. He came in and level set expectations. That seemed to add a baseline and give more comfort to this group. That you just had this sense, look, year 1.5 with Doc Rivers, it's going to be a lot better. He knows the group. He knows the young guys. They know what to expect from him. It's a veteran, experienced coach with an experienced group, and he doesn't feel like he has to babysit or he doesn't have any potential issues in the locker room. And you didn't see the record that you wanted to for the first 10 games of the season, but that slowly started to round into place for this group. And a big part of it is, I don't want to single out any players individually here. I've seen it done, but Giannis, the way that you lead is important, not just in basketball, any walk of life. The way that you lead is very important. Giannis has always been the, I'm going to lead by my actions. And Doc Rivers talked about this the other day, too, in that Giannis has always been that guy of just look what I do and do the same thing. This is how you carry yourself. This is how you approach the game. This is how you play. And the young players should learn from that. But Doc had to tell him, you know, that's all well and good, but I need you to be a vocal leader with some of these young guys. And we've seen a much more vocal 100%, Giannis,
yeah.
Even when it looked its worst. And as I mentioned, it's great now, this 5-1 run. Things have started to turn around. The numbers offensively and defensively starting to really pick up for this group. There is going to be a downswing. It's just the ebbs and flows of an NBA season that we're going to have, in all likelihood, another 3 or 4 or 5-game losing streak. But it's important to start to plug those holes, turn things around, and know, look, more of these runs are going to come. It's cyclical. It's the process that we build up to get there. And the important thing to stave off any of that doubt or anything else that can creep into a locker room at those moments is the way that you lead, especially those young players that have not experienced this quite as much. And we have seen Giannis as a leader for this team to start the season, which there are other teams with players similar to Giannis that are not having that conversation.
You know, Justin, you do a fantastic job of leading this post-game show. I just want to get that out there. And you're giggling, but I mean it. You do a fantastic job of leading this post-game, but I have one issue with you. Q gave game balls. I gave game balls. We have not got Justin Garcia's Milwaukee Bucks game balls. Do you have any game balls you got to give away tonight?
I don't. 855-616-1620.
Come on.
The number to join us tonight. All right, I mentioned the NBA Cup and the standings here. It's already starting to look very interesting out there. We have a handful of teams that have played 3 of their 4 group play games. The Bucks, of course, have not. They're in a pretty good spot right now, especially if you win your next group play game. That would put you to 3-0. On Tuesday night in Miami, but this is probably going to come down to the final game of the season for the Bucks. So we'll take a closer look at that, and we mentioned it quite a bit, but the numbers, how the Bucks have looked, how they've performed, where they rank and stack up against the rest of the Eastern the rest of the NBA since November 1st. We'll get into that coming up next on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, since November 1st, including this win tonight, the Bucks are 6-5 in the month of November, which is it where you expect it to be? No, but considering the start to the season, it's a great run that this team has been on. But even more importantly, defensively, we've talked about the marked improvement we've seen there from that team, from this team. Since November 1st, the Bucks have the 9th best defense in the league. Offense was close to the bottom 10 for a while. Well, since November 1st, it is the 12th best offense in the league, and they have the 10th best net rating in the league. So knocking on the door of being in the top 10 in all 3 of those important categories since November 1. There's not one singular thing to really say this is the reason for it, but the defense is clearly the biggest reason. The bench play, the role players, the production you've gotten there, I mean, that was the chicken and egg theory, too, that are the Bucks struggling because of this or what? And Doc Rivers has talked about the offense feeding the defense. It's not coincidental that everything's starting to turn around. The defense, a big part of it, but guys are hitting shots, too. Gary Trent Jr. with 6 threes tonight. A.J. Green, what he's done all year, save for tonight, really, in the three-point shooting. Bobby Portis starting to heat up again. Brooke Lopez started to have that stretch where he was heating up. So you're just getting that production up and down the roster of guys hitting shots now. And the trust that Giannis and Damian Lillard are playing with those guys, finding the open man. Giannis, the Pacers were doing everything they could, building walls, just swarming Giannis tonight, and he was still having his way, picking apart the defense, finding guys, scoring in the paint. It's all starting to click, and it's the offense and defense for this Bucks team that's really serving all of that up right now. But one of the things we hadn't discussed yet is, you know, when we mentioned those names and how important they've been, tonight was far and away the best we've seen Giannis and Dame together. The two-man game for that duo. Damian Lillard, Doc's talked about it too, the importance of just, number one, getting to the free throw line. I know Dame talked about this a couple days ago, that one of the big shifts that started his last two or so years in Portland was he started to embrace contact and figuring out how important it was to get points at the free throw line. And you've seen that translate, you know, obviously the final few years in Portland, last year, here especially for the Bucks this season. But his ability to still knife through defenses, get to the rim, it just opens up so much for him, especially when the shot isn't falling, because you have to react. And you have to either, as Doc pointed out tonight, whether it's Giannis or Dame, touching the paint and getting to those spots, there's two options for that defense. They can help and give up an open look, or they can just say, well, we're not going to help. We're going to stand these good shooters and basically yeah. concede a layup yep. or a dunk to Giannis. Especially when guys are starting to hit shots, that's what makes it lethal. And again, that's why we talked about this roster just makes sense. Now that you have more two-way players and you have a number of guys that can shoot. You always had pretty good shooting surrounding Giannis. This is arguably the best they've had when you think about the step forward in playing time that A.J. Green has taken, Gary Trent Jr. in what he's brought. But you have guys that can more than hold up on the defensive end as well.
And it, Justin, to your point, it's only going to get better, hopefully, in the next, you know, handful of days, maybe a week or so, till when you get Chris Middleton into the equation, and hopefully that's sooner rather than later. But to open up the show, it's kind of what I was talking about. I mean, if you're the Bucks and you're hovering around top 10 defense and you get that offense kind of in the middle tier, I think eventually that is going to get better. I think their offense is going to get better, and we've seen it get better, especially when guys kind of know what their role is on this team. And there'll be another learning adjustment, I believe, when Chris Middleton does make his way back and how guys fit into that. And that's all something that that Doc Rivers gets paid to do. But if you're an opposing team, like if I'm not a Bucks fan and I'm a Pacers fan tonight, Justin, like I don't want to see this Bucks team. And I know there's, what was it, 7-9 now? And I know that, you know, Cleveland's off to a really good start. Boston's still a really, really good team. Orlando's had a good start. Miami, you know, there's a bunch of teams right in the middle of the mud there. If I'm a top team in the Eastern Conference, if I'm Boston or I'm Cleveland, tonight I was Indiana, I don't want to see this Bucks team come playoff team, come playoff time.
If they're healthy.
If they're healthy, and that's going to be the key, obviously. But they are. This team is just built to be better on offense, and I'm all about their identity being the defense. I think that's where teams are successful. You saw it with Boston last year. We saw it here in Milwaukee in 2021. Offense obviously leads to defense. But on the offensive side of the ball, just speaking on that side of the court, this is a extremely tough team to guard. And obviously Chris Middleton makes it even tougher. But boy, I mean, when they are starting to hit shots, and we really haven't seen, you know, four full quarters, 48 minutes of this team beyond. Now, today was a wire-to-wire game, but you know there were some lulls in the second and third quarter and later in the fourth quarter, but we haven't seen a game where this team is clicking on all cylinders, and you know, five out of the last six games they've won. I don't know, I think it's a very dangerous team offensively, and defensively, you and I have talked about it at length. They're just, they're better and they have better fits.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And you mentioned it was a wire-to-wire win. Maybe not 48 minutes for the Bucks, but
it's getting closer.
what was most important was, you know, there was moments when the Pacers were pulling the rope away from them, but tonight the Bucks didn't lose hold of the rope.
No, not at all.
Like we've seen in the past, similar situations earlier this season when it was at its lowest point in those first, what, six or so games, seven games of the season. Last year, we saw it a number of times that a 14-point lead, whatever it was, taking your foot off the gas, some miscues, turnovers, 14-point lead would quickly become a 10-point deficit before you knew it. And tonight, Pacers made that charge, but each time the Bucks were able to make sure it got down to a one-possession game. But in the second half especially, I think two possessions was the closest the Pacers got it.
Yep.
Nothing beyond that. That they did a better job of regrouping and composing themselves when those turnovers started to become an issue for this team. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Another call to get to. I do want to touch on the NBA Cup standings and where the Bucks currently are. Some of the other interesting things we're seeing in the Eastern Conference. Let's grab one more break. And we'll check in with Will.i.am and take a look at the NBA Cup standings after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
.com.
The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks beat the Indiana Pacers tonight inside of Fiserv Forum 129-117 and continuing to climb in the Eastern Conference standings. Let's squeeze in another call here and talk with our pal, Will.i.am.
Justin, thank you so much for taking my call. And I want to start things off by saying, whenever Dick from Fort Washington calls in and says he's happy, I guess the whole show is going to be happy. So happy to be in attendance, as well as Q, with this game. That blue was hitting different, especially when Giannis was slamming that thing off the glass from Gary Trent. And like I said, like you guys said, something needs to be adjusted, words need to be had. And it looked like our team was looking for blood. And I love that, man. And I love that this team, the Pacers, kind of just, you know, pushed their way onto the Bucks last year. Again, with injuries throughout the playoffs. But tonight, to see them handle business and to see the overrated Tyrese Haliburton not even get into over 20 points, that feels so good. It also feels good to see everyone else encouraging others when they're open to shoot the three. Gary tonight looking great. A lovely boy, Mr. Prince, looking great. Hitting clutch threes at the end. And in honor of Justin, I will dish out some game balls. Firstly, got to give it to Giannis. That man's playing like Will Chamberlain. I don't know what's going on here. Going crazy, showing the city of Milwaukee, hey, we're home. Secondly, our boy, Mr. Prince, over here, he deserves the game ball, man. Hitting those clutch threes, not giving up, being a nuisance on the board, getting the rebounds. Gotta love it. And lastly, the third game ball, gotta give it to Gary Trent, man. That guy has finally decided to show up after, you know, the little struggles he had. I think the quote goes, no pressure, no diamonds. So that man needs to show up. And like you said, six major threes changed the game, Justin. Appreciate you guys taking my phone call, guys. And go Bucks.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Will.
Great call. Great call.
In the interest of time here, let's mention everything I wanted to get to for the NBA Cup. So, Bucks and Pistons are both 2-0 in Group B. The Bucks are plus 20 on the Pistons in point differential. So, if it comes down to it, that's the tiebreaker for seeding. And if you have a multiple way tie here, but it does seem as though it's going to come down to that final game in Detroit. So, the Bucks are in Miami on Tuesday. If you win that, you're 3-0. And then it is going to come down to that final game, because even if the Pistons lose their next game and get to 2-1, their final game against you, if you're 3-0, Miami would have two losses. They're out of it. It's going to come down to who wins that final game between the Bucks and the Pistons. Even if you lose, against Miami, for that matter. It could potentially open up a three-way tie where point differential is going to be of the utmost importance. Group C is the most interesting because the Hawks and Celtics have each played three of their four games. The Hawks beat the Celtics. So right now, the Atlanta Hawks are leading Group C. We could see the Hawks, the Magic, the Bucks all advancing to the Eastern Conference knockout round. A similar story in the West as well, where it certainly seems like the Warriors are going to win their group. The Lakers, the reigning champions, are leading Group B. The Houston Rockets are leading Group A in the West, and they have the largest point differential of any team that has played group play so far. But these last two games, it's going to come down to that Detroit game to determine who's advancing to the knockout round in the Eastern Conference here. And, you know, Doc Rivers talked about this before. Is it ideal? No, but sometimes things like this, I know it's only the second year we've had the NBA Cup, but things like that, getting that increased competition, it can serve as a catalyst for you. I don't think that's what we're seeing per se. It's been a lot of things, but it doesn't hurt. The way that this team came out tonight, certainly the Pacers were a big part of that and the motivation there.
Sure were, yeah.
But Torian Prince told us after the game too, yeah, we are motivated for these things because we get paid more if we win this thing. So it's all starting to fall into place right now for this Bucks team when they needed it most. And as we said, got a chance to finish above 500 now to close out the month of November, largely because of your defense and also because Giannis continues to be one of the best players in the league and has been a one-man wrecking crew to open up this season. Tomorrow night, night two of a back-to-back, the Bucks look for another revenge game against the Charlotte Hornets. Another 7 o'clock tip-off here inside of Fiserv Forum. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.